Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Presentation of the Month. This monthly CD web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching contractors how to run profitable businesses. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable contractor. Think about it for just a minute. If blood doesn't flow through your body dies. Well, guess what? The same is true of your company. When cash flow dries up, your company dies. It's just that simple. Receivables are always critical to a business, but in today's economy, it can be the difference in staying in business or not. Now is the time to get receivables under control. However, recognizing a collections problem is one thing, but knowing what to do about it, well, it's yet another. This month, Chuck Keenan is going to share lots of very practical suggestions on how to control your company's receivables. Chuck has over 35 years' experience in managing and teaching others how to control receivables. If the customer has said it, Chuck has heard it. The good part is that Chuck is willing to share his expertise so each of us can shorten our learning curve just a bit. Chuck is currently president of Keenan and Associates, a firm that specializes in training and crisis management. Now sit back and relax so you can absorb all the information Chuck is about to share concerning collecting your money.
In the last few months, we have watched the economy cause great challenges for many businesses in the country. As conditions have worsened, I've been asked what I see as the biggest challenge for the small to medium-sized firms around the country. Reviewing in my mind those companies I have assisted with crisis management services, it becomes increasingly obvious to me that the challenges do not change as the economy deteriorates. They just become exacerbated. Routinely, I see the same basic problems with companies that are in trouble. Expense control, pricing, productivity, reduced sales, poor service, financing challenges, and accounts receivable control. Today I'm going to address the one problem area that seems to sneak up on most managers, out of control receivables. If the conditions become serious, either with a particular account or an entire portfolio, there is an effect that ripples through your entire company. For example, let's consider the effects on the sales and marketing departments. If a customer is delinquent or over their credit line, the sales effort aimed at that customer should be curtailed or in some cases completely shut down. As the number of accounts delinquent increases, sales fall and profits fall because you can no longer sell to the delinquent customers. Delinquency affects your expense structure as it drives up the cost to collect each dollar and increases your borrowing, thereby increasing your interest expense. If the integrity of the portfolio as a whole becomes a problem, your borrowing relationship with your bank can come into question. As the situation deteriorates, you become the past due customer with your suppliers, and you are in real trouble. I'm not minimizing the importance of the other components of a successful business. I'm simply trying to illustrate how much effect a poorly controlled accounts receivable portfolio can have on your business. When sales are down, you are aware immediately. When production is having problems, you're working on it as fast as you can. But accounts receivable problems seem to creep up on a business owner. I think there are a number of reasons for this. First, almost all business owners and managers hate to deal with delinquent customers. Second, our sales staffs want to make sales, increase their commissions, and have a tendency to minimize customer payment problems until they're forced to face them. It's hard to sell and collect money at the same time. Third, there's always something more important to do than collecting receivables, and we can put that account that needs attention in the to-do pile until tomorrow. Our tendency is to say, what's important today is to solve that service level problem. In other words, you tend to let AR challenges go until they become a real problem. You must fight this tendency if you're going to keep control of one of your largest assets. So how do you get control of your accounts receivable? I believe you must begin your conquest of your receivable challenges within the credit granting process. It begins with the credit policy. It's imperative that a credit policy be developed and put into writing. We accomplish a number of objectives with a written document. This document's most important purpose is to make sure you have a thought-out, viable plan for granting credit and controlling accounts. This policy should complement your business plan while protecting what can become your largest single asset. On another level, we're setting the stage for cooperation between your credit manager and your sales force. A credit policy should be considered a contract within your organization that lays out the criteria for approving a customer for credit, handling deductions, billing, and collections. This step in your credit control process is important enough for you to consider seeking professional help in the forming of your policies and the writing of the document. Each company will have a characteristic within itself and within its industry segment that will create a unique policy. Your credit policy should have two components, the credit granting section and the credit control and collection policy section. The credit policy defines in detail the criteria and procedure for granting credit. It details the policy for investigating an application for credit. It establishes the criteria for setting of credit lines. You formulate the procedure for senior management review and decision override criteria within this policy. Demographic, financial and credit information gathering, and verification procedures are established. The policy continues to guide your employees after a credit relationship is established with a customer. It is in this document you set up routine account review processes and the time for credit line reviews. Finally, you outline the criteria for deductions. The second section of your credit policy should define approval levels for settling disputes, dealing with questionable deductions, and it is in this section that you define steps to be taken to collect your past due account. It is here you set the schedule for contacting accounts by letter, fax, email, and telephone. You define the criteria for tightening or even revoking credit terms. This section of the policy should set forth the criteria and procedures for placing accounts with agencies or attorneys, and your bad debt write-off policy and procedures should be included here also. It never ceases to amaze me how many companies I have assisted that do not have a written credit policy or that have a written policy no one follows. When I am asked by a bank to review the accounts receivable of a company and I report that that company has no written policy or their policies are not followed consistently, the bank wants to know why. If, however, a written policy is in place and is being followed, the bank feels more secure in their decision to continue lending to the customer. It's not possible for me in the time allotted to help you develop a credit policy, but you can contact me if you would like assistance in this area. For the time remaining, I want to help those of you who have delinquency problems. The question on the table is, how do you deal with the accounts on your books that are not paying? How do you get them to send the money you need to operate your business? Remember that a delinquent account is taking the liberty of using your money to operate their business and expecting you to pay the interest to your lender. Even if you're lucky enough to be operating without bank loans, you're letting someone take the money you need to operate your business and use it to operate theirs. Here are some of the reasons given to me by companies for not insisting that their customers pay their accounts in a reasonable time frame. If I push them, they won't order more product, and I need the volume. Or, I have known these people for years and they pay eventually. We can't figure out the deductions they're taking, so we're not sure what the balance is. This is not a major client and I don't have time to call everyone that doesn't pay on time. And then there's this one. I did not realize they were that far behind. In this industry, if you push for your money, they will move your business to a competitor. The account has been past due for years. How are we going to push the issue now? And finally, if I demand my money, I will put them out of business. At least now I get a little now and then. What's wrong with these lines of reasoning? They're invalid answers to why their accounts are delinquent. If you accept these excuses at face value, you will solve nothing. You may create conditions where you take on additional exposure. The possibility exists that you will allow the company enough time to file bankruptcy or just close the doors and walk away. No good can come from allowing delinquent customers to buy while they are delinquent in their payments to you. Let me illustrate. I was asked by the corporation I was working with to review an account that owed a large sum of money to their furniture manufacturing division. As I investigated the case, I was made aware the debtor sold high-end patio furniture and was delinquent $5 million. The sales department assured management that this customer was good for the money and no one should rock the boat because the customer was expanding and putting in large orders to stock new stores. When the customer was asked for financial statements over a six-month period, he said the accountant was working on an audited set of statements and they would be sent as soon as the CPA was done with the reconciliation. I looked at some old statements and discovered that no matter what the capital position of the company was, we were at the very least their largest creditor and may have enough money invested in them that we could claim a controlling interest in a company. So I got on an airplane and I flew to Denver. To make a long story short, I had a meeting with the owner and asked for his company's financial statements and a substantial payment of $2,500,000. I was told both would be forthcoming within a week. I thanked the owner and told him that I would be more than happy to consider reinstating his credit line and processing his latest manufacturing orders when I received the money and after I'd reviewed the statements he had promised. In other words, he was to receive no more product until he complied with our request. As soon as I left the store, the owner got on the phone to the president of the furniture division and told them that if I was not brought into line, the furniture store would not buy any more product from us and we would get paid, but on his schedule. The president told the store owner he had no control over me because I was corporate, and it was me he was going to have to deal with. The owner called and told me I was unreasonable. I did not back down. The next Monday, 5 days from my visit, I received a payment and the statements. After looking at the financials, I knew that the furniture business was not in any real trouble yet. But if it did not make some changes, it would be. So I negotiated with the owner to have his account brought up to date in 2 months, and I changed his terms to COD until we were completely paid. All went well until 6 months later when the business filed for bankruptcy, and instead of losing $5 million, we made a $150,000 claim on the estate. This was not the only account in this manufacturing portfolio that was questionable, and we worked all summer to implement credit controls that would not allow this to happen again. After addressing the delinquent accounts and implementing a new credit policy, we improved the balance sheet of this division considerably. Your portfolio may not have accounts as large as the ones in my illustration, but the accounts in your portfolio are just as important when viewed in proportion to your company's size. Here are the steps I would take to regain control of a portfolio. First, credit reviews. Establish a policy that requires your financial people to review the condition of every company you do business with periodically. Even if you are doing business with a company that is paying you as agreed, you should review the financial position at a regular interval. It takes very little time for a company to get into trouble. When you do a review, look at the customer as if you're doing business with them for the first time. Evaluate important business ratios to be sure that they're within range and average parameters for the type of business your customer is conducting. Not keeping individual demographic information current is one of the major problems I see when an account needs to have legal action taken to collect from a guarantor. Be sure your contact information is up to date and that you evaluate the creditworthiness of anyone who has given you a personal guarantee. The roadblock you'll experience will be time. You will have a tendency to do more important things when the time comes for these reviews. This is a mistake. Without them, you cannot protect yourself from the unseen problems that can arise to cause you a serious problem in the future. Just as you should go to the doctor each year to be sure you're healthy and there's no undiscovered cancer growing in your body, you should examine your accounts receivable portfolio for cancer. If caught early, your cure rate is increased. If left to fester, it could kill your company. Space the reviews over your entire year. Look at your large accounts more frequently than you look at your smaller accounts, but look. Monthly early warnings. There is certain statistical data you have on each customer that can act as an early warning system. As you review your monthly reports, be alert for changes in order levels. If they rise considerably, the customer may be moving orders to you that were being fulfilled by a creditor that they can't pay, or it may be an expansion of businesses underway and the assets of the company don't cover the debts any longer. If order levels reduce considerably, the business may be seeing sales declines or the customer is testing another provider and is about to take his business elsewhere. Payment pattern changes can be a sign of trouble. If a customer's days outstanding is increasing, even slowly, you need to evaluate the situation and ascertain the reason. Customers who pay with a postdated check are a sure sign of cash flow problems. When a customer begins to increase the deductions they are taking or begins to have quality problems your other customers are not having, you may have a customer using these issues to stall payment because his cash flow is weak. It's particularly troubling if a customer begins to take deductions for damaged goods, for not following shipping instructions, or for short shipments. Not only do you have a possible collection issue, but you may have a cash application problem because the payments don't match your billing amounts. Reconciling these type of items are an added expense and must be dealt with immediately so the account does not become a reconciliation nightmare. No invoice should be allowed to be unpaid for 60 days. If you have a company that has invoices that are delinquent for over 60 days and there's not a reasonable explanation, you must act. Next, react to delinquency in a timely manner. It's important to realize the faster you react to a delinquency, the more you reduce your exposure to credit losses. Don't wait to call a customer. You should be making courtesy calls if an account is over 45 days past due. This call is designed to let the customer know you're watching and that your company is interested in helping them deal with their unforeseen circumstance, which may be causing them to struggle. It is a fact that if your payments are being stretched out, other creditors are experiencing the same situation. If you react quickly, you can minimize your exposure and leave the other creditors to take the losses. After the initial phone call, you must follow up if the account is not brought to a current status or if the customer does not keep promises made to you. If you do not follow up on promises made or promises missed, you will find your customers taking advantage of your neglect. They will instead react to someone who is serious about getting paid. Remember, in a situation where a company is having cash flow problems, they will pay the person they see as the biggest threat to their continued operations. Most companies that are in trouble will not admit this fact until it's too late for you to get your money from them. If you adjust your terms early enough and pursue the balance owed to you, this can eliminate or at least limit the damage done to your company if the customer does self-destruct. Even customers that you know well are reluctant to reveal they have a problem for fear you will adjust their terms and restrict their credit levels. Without product, your best customer of yesterday is your bad debt of tomorrow. In the next section of this presentation, I'll give you suggestions and a timetable for reacting to possible or present collection problems. First, early warning strategies. If the size of your customer's orders change dramatically, there may be reasons for the orders to increase that have nothing to do with a credit problem. An example of this is seasonal buying. Having said this, I would be curious if a customer increased their order by, say, 50%, and my salespeople were not inquiring as to what caused the increase. Just having an increase in order size or frequency does not mean you have a credit problem. In fact, an increase in ordering could be a great thing. The reason for the increase will tell you if action needs to be taken. If you have a credit limit program in place, your sales force or credit department should be alert and should inform you if your customer exceeds the assigned credit limit. This is a perfect reason to call the customer and review their circumstances. If you have a customer that changes his or her payment habits, you should call them and see if there's a problem. An example would be an account that is stretching out their payments a little more each invoice. Don't be heavy-handed. Just call and tell them you saw a change in their pattern and want to be sure a payment has not been lost. You could state that you've been doing business with them for a long time and you would like to know if all is well, and if not, how can you help them? A nice, calm conversation will show concern and get their questions answered. If all is well, the phone call can be a great customer relations success. But if conditions are such that you need to put the company on your watch list, so be it. You are forewarned that a problem may be at hand, and you can keep an eye on things and react as needed. The major point here is don't let yourself be blindsided. Be informed. As with all collection strategies, you should take into consideration the balance of the account and the relationship you have with the customer. Large balances require a quicker response. As far as relationships are concerned, be careful that you see the relationship realistically and proportionally to your exposure to loss. Next, annual review red flags. If during your annual review you notice that your customer's gross revenues are down, but their ordering with you has not changed, you may have a problem. If any of the common business ratios fall below the average for your industry, you should make inquiries. In short, if you look at the company's buying and paying habits, their most recent financial statements, and a recent credit report, and you have concerns, you should react. This is also a great time, if you have not talked to the customer in a while, to do so. We all know that we tend to deal with the customers who are problematic more than we do those who just order and pay. This is not a very good customer relations. So you can use this credit review as a reminder to keep in contact with the customers you've been neglecting, but who are good payers. New accounts who have late payments. If an account does not pay within 5 days of the agreed upon terms during the first 3 billing cycles, you should call and educate the customer. The call should be one of concern. You might ask if you may have inadvertently mishandled a payment or not communicated the terms correctly to the customer. By approaching the customer in this manner, you will have an opportunity to see if you have a problem while also providing the customer support at an exceptional level. The ultimate objective is to be sure you've trained your customers to pay on time so you will not have the problem in the future, and if a problem exists, you will be able to see it early enough to react before it becomes insurmountable. It is also a fact that if you allow a customer to develop poor paying habits and don't react, you reinforce the behavior and getting them back on track will be difficult, if not impossible. An established customer should receive a written reminder 10 days from the due date of an invoice. No matter how you send your mailings, it's imperative that you send it to a specific person who has the authority to pay you. Dunning letters to a general address without directing it to a specific person is about as effective as writing a letter and tossing it into a garbage can. Whether you are writing or calling, it's important that you are communicating with the person in the debtor's company that can authorize payment on your account. Anything less is a waste of time. You will eventually have to deal with the decision maker, so let's get the situation resolved now by talking to the right person. Letter usage. Letters can be used to give your customer a reminder or to relate specific information such as payment reminders, notification of a reduction of credit line or terms, intention to report the account to a credit reporting agency, notification of potential placement of an account with a collection agency or attorney. If at any time you want to be absolutely sure that the customer has received the letter that you sent, you should ask for a return receipt. Times have changed, so now you have a number of ways to contact your customer in writing. Let's look at the advantages and disadvantages of each of the written communication types. First, snail mail. You have the expense of paper, envelope, and postage. It takes at least 1 day, if not 2 days, for your letter to reach the customer, and then it takes another day for the responsible party to read it. This is a minimum time frame. In a large company, the internal time to reach the right party is much greater. It can be as much as a week or more. Now let's look at faxes. With a fax, you have no envelope or postage expense, but you do have telephone expense and fax machine maintenance and supplies. Faxes allow you to get a letter and a copy of the invoice or statement in the hands of the customer almost instantly. Using fax machines, you can send a customer a copy of an invoice, payment history, signed delivery receipt, or any other written information and have it in the customer's location immediately. It is imperative that you address your fax as urgent and address it to a person. If you neglect to do either of these things, your fax may just sit in the fax machine box for a day or so before anyone reacts to it. Now we come to email. No added expense because you already have email for many other reasons, and there's no cost for paper, postage, or phone expense. At this medium, you can send the data to the customer while you're talking to them. All you need is to store your letters, invoices, and other paperwork online. Even if you do not have data online, you can use a high-speed scanner to send a copy of the documents as a separate email or an attachment to a letter. This is the most economical written communication system. I suggest that you set your email systems up to verify the receipt of your email if the receipt is critical. Be careful of this tool. If you are sending an email letter to 200 customers, you will receive 200 replies. You want to use this tool for critical emails, for instance, letters to high balance accounts or notification pending collection agency or legal action. Of course, there are cash application and billing systems that will automate the sending of form letters to a number of customers at a time without human intervention. These systems are utilized when your billing volume warrants the expense of buying and installing a system like this. If invoicing and written communications do not cause the customer to pay, your next step is the telephone call. As a general rule, phone calls should begin with an account that has reached 30 days on your age analysis. You need to set certain criteria that require calls to be made as soon as 5 or 10 days after due date for accounts on your watch list and large balances. Here are some tips for the collection phone call. Call early in the day, before people get out of the office and into the field. When contacting small businesses, it's worth calling after 6 p.m. This is when the owner's trying to catch up and maybe sitting next to his phone. Mix up the times of day. People don't keep the same schedules every day. One other tactic is to set your phone so that your customer's phone cannot identify the originating point of the call. Be sure you're talking to the person who can authorize payment. It does you no good to spend time talking with someone who's going to go to someone else to get permission to pay you. If you make 2 phone calls to any person without progress being made to resolve the problem, you should escalate the call to the next level. If you're talking to the accounts receivable administrator, escalate to the department head and then to the company controller and finally to the owner or president. Do not be intimidated. This is your money we're dealing with and you have a right to be paid. Be sure that the customer understands your position is to be paid as agreed. Let them talk and you listen. Ask open-ended questions until you have an understanding of their problem and situation. Your goal is to motivate your customer to pay their account up to date so you can continue doing business with them. In the case of a customer you have decided is too risky to continue doing business with, you need to close the account and liquidate the balance. After all phone calls, note all pertinent facts, arrangements, and information, and establish a follow-up date in case the payment agreed to is not made. Do not procrastinate your follow-up calls. If you do, you are leading your customer to believe that you are not serious about collecting your money, and they will pay the company that has tight follow-up systems. There is something to be said for the squeaky wheel getting the attention. Make all payment arrangements specific. The arrangement consists of a payment date, amount, the name of the bank from which the funds will be sent. The arrangement should be comprehensive enough to encompass all delinquent invoices. Your overall objective is to keep your delinquency within industry norms and bank requirements. Your secondary objective is to maintain or reduce the percent of dollars delinquent. You are not in the risk business. You are not a lender. You are a merchant. The better your accounts receivable aging looks, the stronger and more stable your company will be. Use an electronic calendar to note dates for follow-up and be sure that the calendar is the first thing you look at each morning. The creditor that follows up on promises and keeps open communications with their customers is the one who gets paid first. Now we come to motivating your customer. We have to motivate the customer to pay. It's critical to collecting your money. Remember, every other creditor this customer has is attempting to get their money before you get yours. Relationships. Share with the customer that your relationship with them is valuable to both of you, and you don't want to see anything, including non-payment, inhibit the continued mutual benefits of doing business together. You can remind the customer that if the situation is not resolved, it will become necessary to report their non-payment to a credit reporting agency, and this could affect their ability to replace you as a supplier if things don't get settled. It's a common practice to change terms of doing business if the past due balance is in jeopardy. You can go to COD or even prepaid delivery if necessary. Before you take this action, let the customer know it's a possibility. Use the possibility to motivate the customer. And then, after they've brought their account up to date, you reinstate the regular terms as an added incentive to stay up to date. If the situation warrants, you need to remind a personal guarantor that you may be forced to exercise the guarantee. Explain that this action would put the guarantor's estate at risk. This usually gets a reaction. Use this tactic only when you are trying to liquidate the balance. It usually elicits a strong reaction either overtly or covertly, which results in a termination of the relationship. This makes the situation personal and changes the dynamic of the negotiations. It can be a very effective tool to assure payment, but if not handled with tact, it can end a relationship. When the account becomes 90 days or more delinquent, and assuming there are no billing deductions or cash application problems, you should be notifying your customer that there is a real possibility you're going to have to seek outside help to collect the balance. Remind them that this will become very costly depending on the action taken. The cost will be in time, money, and the ability to find a new supplier. I don't have time in this presentation to discuss the subjects of account placement with a collection agency or legal alternatives in any detail, but here are a few critical things to consider. If legal action is necessary, it's important that you take action sooner rather than later. Every day you wait is time given to your customers, other creditors, to take action and put themselves in a position to get priority treatment if the company liquidates or goes into bankruptcy. Legal action is expensive, so it's necessary to make informed decisions concerning what balance level is appropriate for legal action. It's also necessary to ascertain what assets are available for satisfying your account before you expend the money to take action against the company. If they don't have the cash or the assets to satisfy your debts, it may be more economical to write the account off and take your loss, or simply send it to a collection agency and see what they can do with it. My last piece of advice is to accept your losses at the time they're apparent. It is customary to recognize a loss at either 120 or 150 days delinquent. If you procrastinate recognizing your losses to make your financial statements look better, you are not only fooling yourself, but you are building a time bomb that will go off when you least expect it. If you have bank loans, you could be in violation of your loan agreement by not recognizing your losses. If this is the case, the bank could take corrective action requiring you to pay back the loan immediately. Remember, honesty is the best policy. If you are having problems with your accounts receivable and you need to address them, do so. Even if you need to pay an expert to review your policies and procedures, making recommendations for improvement, it's well worth it in the long run. The time for professional advice is before a crisis. After a crisis begins, it's difficult to address the many problems that the deteriorating accounts receivables has caused and still have the time to address the root cause of the problem. Short time we've had together, I have addressed the most critical pieces of the accounts receivable and cash application process. I trust this presentation is of value to you. If you need more information or assistance in evaluating your accounts receivable issues, please contact me at cKeenonassoc@comcast.net. Thank you for your time, and have a great day.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. The vision of Grandian Associates is quite simple. We teach contractors how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website, www.grandiassociates.com, or give us a call at 1-800-432-7963. The Service Contractors Business Presentation of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandian Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.